Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is On Target with Penny Wolfgang, a program that takes an inside look at what is happening in Western New York with news, features, and special guests. Now, here's your host, Penny Wolfgang.
Hi, everybody, and thank you so much for joining us on Target. I am here every week, your host, Penny Wolfgang, and it is our mission to talk to you about subjects we think are interesting and important and topical for all of us who live here in the Western New York community, and events, and charity events particularly, if we can, and also to talk to people that we think are making a difference here in Western New York that you might want to meet and learn more about and know something about their background and history and that you might not have met on your own. So here we are and on Target introducing you to them. So Jim and I had the pleasure not too long ago of meeting our guest, Terry Bourgeois. I love that name because, you know, I think I pretend I can speak French. You know that.
Me too.
So we met Terry a while ago. Well, actually, Jim met him not too long ago, but I met him when he was on the show with us with another guest, a doctor from Roswell Park. And the reason is, and his mission is, along with the doctors from Roswell Park, is to end cancer in our lifetime, particularly in New York State, which, as we know, is not something that is easily accomplished, let me say, but is certainly a mission that all of us who are listening share, I'm sure. But in order to help end cancer in our lifetime, our guest, Terry Bourgeois, has actually come up with a very unique way of doing this, of raising money for cancer research. He was the founder of the Empire State Ride, and you may not be familiar with this, but after you listening to us today, we hope you will be. And probably, I think, if you're listening, you might be confusing it, as I did, with the ride for Roswell. But I found out, and Terry will tell us more about this, that they're actually two different unique activities and fundraisers that sort of have the same goal, but in different accomplishing them in different ways. So in the studio with us is Terry Bourgeois. And thank you so much for joining us, Terry. And as I was telling our listeners, it seemed like this not that long ago that I did speak to you about this event, but actually it probably was long ago or before your first one or before a different one, right? Because you do this every year?
Yes, it is annual event, yeah.
Okay, so let's start from scratch. How did you get interested in helping Roswell?
So I've been involved with Roswell Park for a little over 20 years now. I first became involved shortly after I moved to Western New York.
From?
I moved here from Colorado. I'm originally from North Dakota, but I moved here in 1998. And in 1999, I was introduced to Roswell. And I kind of became overwhelmed as soon as I went to a ride for Roswell. And I got a little bit of an education then on how significant cancer is in people's lives, with 1 in 3 women and 1 in 2 men being impacted at some point in their lives. So around that time, I had only been out of the military for about a year and a half. And a lot of times veterans, when they leave the military, you kind of feel like you need a mission. And because you don't have that structured mission focus that you did when you were in the military. And I was at the Ride for Roswell event, and I was exposed to the reality of moms and dads and brothers and sisters and sons and daughters that were impacted by cancer. And at that point, it struck me that there's probably more people, there in fact are more people that are impacted by cancer every year than all of the people that we lose in wars, and each year. And it's staggering. And I knew when I was there that this was a cause that I was ready to jump into, but I was also cautious. Before I jumped in, I wanted to validate that Roswell Park was real in the fight against cancer, because I wasn't familiar with who Roswell was. And at that time, I did some tours, I met researchers, and this was 20 years ago. And I was so impressed with what they were doing down there with research, and I became committed. I said, this is something I want to commit my life to outside of my normal job. And so I did. So fast forward, you know, a lot of things have changed in cancer research since that time. The advances that have been made are tremendous. And I think the momentum that we have is significant, but keeping it going, having funds to keep it going, are really, really important. And about 5 years ago, we were trying to figure out how we could create an event that would be another multi-million dollar revenue stream for Roswell Park Comprehensive Cancer Center. The Ride for Roswell is a great funding stream, but we have a gap between how much research we can do and should do and how much we have funds for. So this idea of creating an event that really had the potential to engage the entire state of New York, literally, because over 80% of the population of New York State is within about 80 miles of the Erie Canal and the Hudson River. So we thought, how can we engage that population of the entire state in an event, and in fact perhaps even bring in people from all around the nation to an event? So the idea of the Empire State Ride came up, which is to we go from Staten Island, ride past the Statue of Liberty, which is a symbol of hope for many of our ancestors, along the side the Hudson on both sides up to Albany, and then over the Mohawk ridgeline on to Niagara Falls. And so that's what we started a few years ago.
So, well, just to go back, before that, when you mentioned Roswell Park and getting interested in it, were you surprised to see that we have such a first-class cancer research hospital right here in Western New York, and it doesn't seem to be as recognized as Sloan Kettering or Cleveland or what's the other one, Johns Hopkins? I mean, there's a few that people seem to like recognize the name more or recognize the reputation more than Roswell, which I think you will agree with me, I know, is totally unfair.
Yeah, I agree with you. However, I also believe that that is changing based on the work that they are doing. People don't realize that it is our nation's first dedicated institution to cancer research. And that's a big deal that it was the first.
And, I didn't even know that, did you?
No.
So, you know, I think that reputation back then, I consider myself part of the Roswell
yes,
family.
Yes, well, you should. Part of the family.
I think we were leading then, and now the global impact that Roswell is having, there's no question that the recognition well-deserved recognition is coming. They're actually doing so much work internationally recently with bringing the lung cancer vaccine from Cuba. That was a huge, huge opportunity, the only one in the nation to do so.
And it did receive national publicity and attention, definitely.
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely, it did. There's a book that I highly recommend reading about kind of the history of cancer research. It's called The Emperor of All Maladies, and it's a read that's rather sobering about cancer research. And in that book, it talks about the history way back from Egyptian times of the beginning of cancer. And in that book, the author does talk about Roswell Park and the role that it has played in the development of cancer treatments. And it's also in that book very eye-opening about how the research really wasn't that significant. The progress wasn't that significant until really about 20 years ago in the early 90s when great breakthroughs have started to happen. And that's the momentum that we're excited about now is fueling that. We can't stop because the progress we're making is huge, but it's expensive to do that research.
That's the thing. People may be saying, what do they need all this money for? And the answer is very apparent that all of this research costs a lot of money, billions of dollars.
Absolutely. And then the other part of it, you know, I've been talking about research for a lot of years, and I'm excited that now I'm able to talk, and we all are able to talk more about results that are coming from the research. And those results, where you really know you're making progress, is when you have a lot of clinical trials that are ready to go to trial that people can partake in. The issue with clinical trials is that the funding for them isn't provided by insurance companies. If people want to participate in clinical trials, we need this type of funding from the Empire State Ride, for example, to help fund those clinical trials. Otherwise, they can't happen.
And you know, as you said, in the last 20 years, there's been so much progress, and particularly from here. But one of the things you always keep talking about, or I keep hearing about, is this cutting edge immunotherapy, and mm-hmm. it seems to be very mm-hmm. making a big difference in a lot of different kinds of cancer.
Yes, absolutely.
And that was a result of research and here.
Absolutely, and funding from events like the Empire State Ride and the Ride for Roswell, absolutely.
And a lot of things too, different kinds of cancer that used to be a death sentence. Hmm. Now, because of research and because of innovations, I can think of lung cancer, and for one, just think years ago, if somebody said you have lung cancer, my aunt was not here, she was in Las Vegas actually, hmm. but they said you have lung cancer and you're going to live for less than a year, and she did.
Yes.
And
yes.
Now you hear so many stories of people that have lived years and years.
Yes.
And are still alive.
Yes.
Because of different treatments.
Yes. You know, one of the amazing doctors from Roswell, Dr. Carl Morrison, he was instrumental in developing a test that the first test was directly related to lung cancer. And a spinoff company happened as a result of his research called OmniSeq. And the unique thing about Dr. Morrison's research and now company is with this testing, they can take a piece of the tissue that's cancerous and identify the specific mutation that is causing the cancer in the patient. And then they've mapped specific drugs that work with that specific mutation. So, and it's surprising sometimes that the drug that might be used for something totally different actually happens to work on this particular gene. And there are people that have benefited from that test now that have survived when they really weren't expected to. And the types of cancers that the OmniSeq testing has advanced to is absolutely amazing.
And another thing is innovation improvement that's happened in the last years are the treatments that have less side effects. That, you know, the treatments when you heard about people either having, you know, chemo or radiation, that was just the two typical that I known about. But that people would talk about the side effects were almost, you know, worse than having cancer. And now you hear about more targeted, yes. targeted areas and less intrusive and better, less side effects.
Yes, that's absolutely correct. And in fact, research, I was just at an event this past week and learned about some new research, to your point, that is focused on, it was a lung cancer again, actually, it happened to be, that was focused on limiting the impact of the treatment to the lung only and not having that, the impact of the treatment expand to other parts of the body. So I think focus on the kind of the holistic body and the quality of life of the patient has become a huge priority.
And in order to do this, as we start out by saying, there have to be there must be funds raised, and there are different ways of raising them. And today, we are talking with Terry Bourgeois, and he is the founder of something known as the Empire State Ride, which is a ride to end cancer. And that reminds me of when we said at the very beginning, it is like a catchphrase almost. When you say to somebody, what do you want to do in your, when they interview like Miss America or one of those, and they say, what would you like to do in your life? And they always would say, I want to cure cancer, right? It seems to be, and you know, people, it's like a go to the moon or be a brain surgeon, you know, or they'll say it's not brain surgery when they're talking about something simple. Well, to cure cancer seems to be, in our lifetime, everyone keeps saying, we hope it'll happen in our lifetime, or if only it would happen in our lifetime, or something like that. Yeah. So you came up with this idea, and when you started this fundraiser, when did you start it, and how did you get it going? How did you get people involved, and how did you decide the route?
Yes. So it started about 6 years ago. Again, we identified the potential opportunity to create this multi-million-dollar stream, or revenue stream. And so it started off, actually, I did it by myself the first year.
You went alone?
I did.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I didn't want to invite other people unless I knew it was safe.
Jim would have gone with you.
Oh, yeah,
yes,
absolutely.
He would have. He's so up
where
for this.
Were you, Jim?
Yeah.
I was looking for you.
Yeah. Now you know.
Right? Yeah. So I started it off, myself the first year, because I did want to make sure that I thought it was something that people would be interested in. And I can tell you that the first year that I did it, I had no idea what I was getting into, of course.
Yeah.
And it turned out to be a really significant, I think, turning point of the way I viewed life, to be quite honest with you. I overcame a lot of obstacles going into it, that kind of these points that said, stop, don't do it. And but we persevered through those. But in the middle of the ride, when I was around day three and day four, it was tough. My body was kind of saying, what the heck did you do to me? And
were you in avid bicycle ride before this?
Well, I would say not really. I rode a fair amount, but I actually did the first one in May, so I didn't have much time to train. I trained indoors the first time around. But, you know, what's interesting is those emotions that I felt the first time I did it, going into it, being kind of a little bit afraid of what I was getting into, that middle point of the ride, having to really dig deep and ask myself, why are you doing this? And realizing during that point about all of the people that I know that have impacted during the middle of that thing. It just, you ask yourself, why am I doing this? And then you answer that question and you power through. And when you get done with it, the feeling is just absolutely amazing of what you're able to accomplish. And that's how I felt that first year. And now 5 years later, I've been able to witness that same emotion and that feeling in now hundreds of people that have experienced the event. And you know, it really, it's about raising money for cancer. That's why we're doing it. But in a bigger sense, it gives people that have been impacted or that are going through the experience or have had the experience to enable them to do something about it. And because you kind of feel like sometimes you're angry, you need an outlet, you just have emotions and you want to do something.
Why me or why this person? You know, those feelings that people always have. Why my brother? Why me?
Yes.
Why,
you know, yes.
My sister?
And I think the people that do this, they have a story to tell. And the fact that they're doing a 7-day, 540-mile journey is also a story to tell. And it's I've seen it. It's changed my life, and I've seen it change hundreds of other people's lives.
How does this raise money? I'm not sure people understand how this would raise money.
So there is a fundraising. There's a minimum fundraising limit to do the ride. It's $3,500 minimum. The ride is fully supported, so you actually don't need to worry about where you're going to sleep. We take care of it. We take care of what you're going to eat.
I was coming to that. If it's continuous, and well, first tell me how you raise the money, and then tell
me. So it's a fundraising. It's a minimum of $3,500 fundraising.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so you just get donations and ask people to help you help the cause.
Now, in this regard, it is like a ride for Roswell, because that's what they do too.
Yep, that's correct.
Okay,
yep.
It's the same idea.
Yep.
Now we're getting to the nitty gritty, which I was definitely going to ask you about. Do you know this already, Jim?
I know bits and pieces.
Yeah.
Not everything.
No. So it starts in. So let's say you have a group, and what's the number that usual, if there is such a thing, number of people participating?
Yeah. This year we'll have 200 people.
Amazing. You started from one and you're up to 200.
Yes, from all over the nation, actually.
That's what I was going to ask you. All the people from Western New York.
Yeah, no, we have over 22 states. I think we're over that now, but the last time I looked, we had over 22 states participating. The furthest away being Panama and Hawaii. We always get some representation from California. In fact, a few years ago, our top fundraiser was from Los Angeles. So the goal was to create an out-of-market national event, and that's what's happening.
Because people are interested in helping Roswell, and or because they're interested in seeing if they can do this arduous bike ride. Yeah. Like, this reminds me of, what's the French one?
The Tour de France, which I actually was in France twice and saw it in various places.
But it's very, very boring to watch. I'm sure it's fine to participate, but you know, you just stay there, sit there in one place for like forever, and then whiz, the bicycles go by. It's over, and you know. But the point not is to be watching it, but participating, obviously. So people come from all over because of wanting to help Roswell and or wanting to be in this exciting event.
Yeah, I think it's a few things. You know, cancer is certainly a common theme of the reason why people want to participate is because it is a cause event, and cancer is the beneficiary. Often it is also the challenge. It's also the opportunity to see New York State. So,
yes, it is called, and I should say this a few times, and I will, and I'll tell people, or I'll have you tell people how they can reach you, be involved in some way, but it is called the Empire State Ride for a reason, and I think you're pointing out you get to see this beautiful state.
Absolutely.
From one end to the other.
Yes, and it's so beautiful. Every year I notice something different as we ride along, again coming from Staten Island. Riding the ferry is an experience for a lot of people that have never been to New York City, and going past the Statue of Liberty, and then the Hudson Valley is just gorgeous, and we get to see both sides. We actually cross the Hudson River twice. And then something unique about the ride is when we get to Albany shortly after that, we jump up onto the Mohawk Valley Ridgeline. A lot of people have ridden the Erie Canal, but this is actually overlooking the valley. And it's a view that a lot of people don't really get to see. When you're on the interstate, you're down in the valley. So this is up on the ridgeline. It's absolutely just gorgeous. And the farm country that we have, it's so peaceful. It's scenic. I think it's one of the more beautiful states that I've been in, and I've been to all 50.
That's right. You have. So that matters when you say that. We're just, you know, biased. So, of course, we think it's the most beautiful state. And is your favorite part when you get to Western New York or Buffalo or Niagara Falls? Well, probably because it's over. Also, right?
You know, you know, when we get to the end, it's, you know, you're kind of sad because it's over, right? But what's really neat about the ending is we all queue up about a mile away from Niagara Falls, and we wait till everyone gets to the queue point, and then we're all dressed in the same jersey, the Empire State Ride jersey. So we line up two by two, and we get a police escort into the city of Niagara Falls, through Niagara Falls, and onto Old Falls Street for the finish line. and with hundreds and hundreds of people cheering the Empire State Riders in, and knowing what you just went through, you know, the 7 days, 540 miles ending, and you can feel the thunder of the falls as you're starting to approach, hundreds of people cheering you in. It's the most amazing and emotional feeling that you'll ever have in your life.
It really sounds like it. It sounds like, you know, people would be looking for you. And it reminds me of the New York City Marathon, when you see the pictures of the people on the sidelines waiting and cheering everybody on. Although that does not go through all of New York State. But, I mean, it's just the idea, you know, of the people working together for this good cause.
Yes.
That makes a difference. You mentioned that a couple of people in the past had interesting stories or stories that would be inspiring.
Yes. There's
that participated.
Yes, there's so many. I'll tell you two from last year. And this kind of puts into context the type of people that come to do this ride, because we have very avid cyclists, and then we have people that are there, and they're there for a reason. And one of them is a gentleman named David that came to us from Indiana. And David has stage 4 pancreatic cancer that's inoperable. And when you look at David, you can tell that he's a biker. And he loves biking, but he came to the Empire State Ride last year knowing that he might not be able to do the full ride. In fact, he knew that he might not be able to do a ride some days, but he wanted to be part of it. And so there was a couple of days he did 10 miles, a couple of days he did 30. One day he was in a fair amount of pain because he's on pain medication and he couldn't ride, but he rode in a support vehicle. He helped at the rest stops, and he was an inspiration. And David's message to us one night when he spoke at one of our programs in the evening was that just because you get this type of diagnosis doesn't mean you have to stop doing what you love. And David had a smile on his face every day.
That's inspiring.
And
really,
gosh,
inspiring.
He was amazing. And guess what? He's coming back this year.
Oh, I'm so glad you told us that story. That is, yes. here to participate again. Let me ask you now, you said you have all the riders for this year already, but
no,
don't?
No, we know. We
okay,
need
great.
More.
Okay, yep. When is it, and how can people reach you to participate?
Yes, so the ride is July 28th to August 3rd. You can sign up on empirestateride.com and register. And we also have a Facebook page, Empire State Ride Facebook page, where you can check out a lot of information. But on the EmpireStateRide.com website, there's a ton of information. There's FAQs. There's what the route is like. There's GPX download files, so you can see what the actual route is. Everything you need to know is there.
Okay. We wish you the best of luck, and we thank you for your inspiring story, as well as for letting our listeners on Target know about this Empire State Ride to End Cancer. And I'm glad we had a chance to talk about it, and I hope you have enjoyed and learned something from our conversation on Target. Please join me again next week. Same time, same station, and really have a good week, everybody. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to On Target with Penny Wolfgang, a program that takes an inside look at Western New York and our community. If you have any comments or suggestions, please write to Penny Wolfgang at 500 Corporate Parkway, Suite 200, Amherst, New York, 14226.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.